And from what I've been told, little birdie told me that was one of his best weeks ever. So that's pretty awesome. I will
Pretty
go ahead and
impressive. Yes.
I know, right? It's so cool.
Yep.
I will go ahead and pass the mic off here to Mr. Mike and
All right.
Mr. Junior Korea. You there?
I'm here, Lauren. Thank you for getting us kicked off. Thank you, Sherry. And hey, it's always exciting when we've got I love our Friday call, but it's certainly cool when we've got stories like this going on, people hitting record weeks, especially when somebody's blowing through and doing some massive things. So I believe we do have Junior on the call. Let me make sure, Laura. Sherry, if you can help us go. Right, there you go. We got his line opened up here. So, Junior, we should have your line active. Are you there, buddy?
Beautiful. Yes, sir. I'm on here.
There you go. All right. Woo! All right, man. Hey, we were chatting late last night, kind of planning the different pieces and figure out what was the most important things to get out that was going to help the most people on this call. And so, some people are thinking, well, is this just a love fest to tell Junior how much we love him? Well, a little bit. We're celebrating. But let me tell you what's more important. We've tried to pull out what did he change, what did he do that people on this call could copy, whether it's a brand-new agent starting or someone that's a veteran who's been with us 10 years or someone that's been with us a year or two who's trying to take the next step up. We're like, what are the things that somebody could take from this and go out and copy and do and put to good use and really help themselves out in furthering their career with us and making an impact on allowing them to help more families? So that was our strategy. So I'm hoping we do it right, do y'all right by this. And kind of before we get into some things, man, Andy Albright, our CEO, has been running some crazy contests and incentives on top of the commissions that we get, on top of the trips that we get. For those that haven't heard, he pulled out $212,000 in cash and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take $106,000 of it and make it available in prize money for the top 33 selling agents for April, May, and June, the 90 days. And we're going to do the same thing for the top recruiting and building agents. There's a separate contest. And so we've got people on our team, of which Junior is one of them, that are in the hunt for this prize money. And we've got other spinoff contests that are going on that people are participating in. Other people are finding ways to participate and win some significant cash money. So one of the things we want to do is just make sure everybody's aware of that. And some of the people I know that are in the top 33 at the current pace, I know we've got Katrina Gustin's in there. I think she was around 24th place, if I'm remembering right. I know Jared Gonzalez, who 6 months ago, nobody knew who Jared Gonzalez was. But she got her license on February 24th, started selling like the 2nd of March, and she's in the top 33 agents in the company, coming in at number 29 right now and sitting there with about $34,000, $35,000 that she paid so far in this contest. So congratulations to Jera. And then we've got none other than the guy we've got on the call with us.
Funds are available, but the system is gradually waking up.
We've got my buddy Junior Korea, who's sitting there at 19,000 before this record week gets counted into the total. So it'll be cool to see what happens for Junior here over the next couple weeks as we see his business get processed and see if he can crack the top 10. So cool money out there. Number one person, 20,000. Number two, 15,000. Number three, 10,000. Number four through 10 gets 5,000 each. I think it's 2,500 for the next five positions. So lots of money at stake there. So I know Junior's fighting for peace. So's Katrina. So's Jerry. And we got people on the outside who are looking in who know they got a shot. I mean, I was looking. I think we've got Lindsey Barron's got a shot. I was looking at Joseph Dukes, who's got a shot. And there's others I'm probably forgetting. Mickey Cruz is up in there, I think, in the top 50. Could, with some business he's writing, could be in the next wave based on what he's got. So, anyways, lots going on, lots of exciting things. We've got contests in our base shop where we got Lindsey Barron and Rachel Burke and John Lehman leading the way of three of the top five positions. We got some others fighting for a shot there. So, anyways, lots going on, but I want to get to Junior. Whew, Junior, I'm fired up out of my mind today. It's beautiful weather. I'm actually not out of the country and on a vacation. I've been excited. We got
that's a miracle right there.
Yeah, it's a fun week. I love what I do working-wise. We're breaking records. And, Junior, you're breaking records, and that's why we got you here today. A lot of the people here may not have heard you or know who you are, Junior. So real quick, just tell them a little bit about what's going on in your life and some key things they should know about you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mike. That's really cool just to be on this call, man. I love it. That was one of my dreams when I started, just to be, like, part of this call, and I could actually get to talk to people, you know. So my name is Junior. My last name is Korea. I was hired by Mickey, and I've been with the Alliance for almost 7 years now, and my home hotspot is down here. I live in the Orlando area. When I first started the Alliance, I was 18 years old. I had just graduated high school, and I had a job going door-to-door doing solar panels, and it just so happened one of the doors that I knocked on was somebody that was working with us and told me about this business, and I was excited because he introduced me to Danny and Mike and Noel and Andy, and I fell in love with the team right away. But it's crazy. It's hard to imagine that was almost 7 years ago now.
All right. And so Junior, so now you're how old now?
24. I'll be 25 in a few days.
Okay, coming up on 25 years old. And so some people would say, like, I think it's important to even point out, like, in your first 6 months working with us, Junior, what kind of money did you make?
I love that question. It's almost not a fair question because I did have a full-time job, Mike. So in my first 6 months, I made about $5,000 to $6,000. But, I mean, I did have a full-time job playing video games. I didn't get paid for it, but I was playing video games full-time. So...
that
explains the low money problems.
Yeah, okay, but now, so how could you afford to live as an 18-year-old playing video games and just make a little bit of money?
Oh, God, that's easy. My mom and my dad, they were paying for everything. I was living at home with them.
Okay, so that's fine. So people wonder, well, how come he didn't work so hard? Well, he didn't have to. Sometimes if you don't have a reason why, you won't go beyond what you need to do. All right, so that's a tip right there, but that's big. All right, so Junior, so once your parents kind of said you need to get out on your own, which maybe took a little bit, what happened to your income when the first year that you were out on your own full time? What did we do there?
Yes, sir. So that was my second full year with the Alliance, and I made just a little bit over I made just a little bit over $61,000 that year, and I was 19, turning 20 when that happened.
Okay.
Year after that, it's gone up.
Okay. So what did your income look like for last year? What was our total income for last year with 2017?
2017, it was right under $150,000. It was $147,000 last year.
Okay. All right, so we clocked in there with a good chunk. So big jump up from $6,000 your first 6 months, doing $153,000 a year. Now, what are you projecting? I know we're only in the end of May here. What are you projecting your income will look like for this year based on what you're seeing so far?
We'll be right at $300,000 this year.
That's big. Okay. That's a big number. Dude, that's like doubling, dude.
I know. It's exciting.
You can go for $300,000. That's cool. Okay.
You know what I love is some people might listen to that and be like, well, that's highly optimistic. Well, I'm pretty fired up because if I'm wrong and I make $250,000, I'm still fired up. And if I'm wrong and I make $350,000, I'm still fired up. You know what I mean? I could be wrong.
Yeah, I got that. All right. So we get what's going on. So people get some sense of what's happening with Junior. He's making money by selling. He's built an organization. And so, Junior, what are some of the states that you have agents that are helping families in?
We've got several. We've got Dylan Gowna out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tearing things up. We've got people selling in Houston. We've got North Carolina. We've got people here in Orlando and Florida, Miami. We've got Chicago, and we've got Wisconsin. I mean, it's crazy. We've got people all over the place.
Okay. All right. So now we want to kind of get into this week, and let's talk about your numbers for this week, because you did hit a record. I want kind of people to see the full body of work that you did. So first of all, how many different days did you make phone calls to fill up your schedule and book up appointments? How many different telephone days did you have?
Okay, so I made phone calls Tuesday morning between 8 and 10 a.m., Wednesday morning between 8 and 10. I made phone calls Friday, 8 a.m. till 10 o'clock, and then Saturday, 8 till 12. So 4 days, you could say.
Okay, make calls so on 4 days.
I would say it's about 10 hours of actual phone time.
Okay, about 10 hours of phone time. Okay. And so with those 10 hours of phone time, how many phone calls, how many dials did you make?
It was 336 phone calls. I've got to pull up the numbers exactly.
Okay. And so somebody's wondering, well, how many calls an hour? Well, if you dial for 10 hours, that's about 33, 34 dials per hour. So if you're wondering, well, how many phone calls an hour should I be making when I'm sitting down, hopefully that gives you an idea, if you're listening in, what that should look like. Okay. So now let's take it a little bit further. So, Junior, how many people did you talk to? How many people answered the phone when you called?
I had 45 people answer the phone.
Okay. And how many appointments did you book?
33 appointments.
33 appointments. Okay. So you get the phone side. So 336 dials, talked to 45, 46, booked 35 appointments. Now, how many different days did you run the appointments on?
Okay. It was five different days. So it was 46 contacts, 35 appointments, I'm sorry. And I ran over 5 days. I ran on Thursday. I had a full day Thursday, full day Friday. And then I had a few on Saturday, and then I had a full day Sunday and a full day on Monday.
Okay.
So it was physical days.
Okay. So people kind of get some sense of what days you were working. And of the 35 appointments, how many of those families did you sit with?
I sat down with 22 families.
Okay. And of those 22 that you sat with, how many families did you write business with?
12.
Okay. And how many applications did you write in those 12 homes?
It was a total of 30 applications.
And how much premium?
$19,832.
Now, somebody might be wondering how come Lauren had a different number when she read off the totals. Well, Junior, the way he measured his week kind of overlapped 1 week versus another a little bit differently. So just so you know, if you're wondering, well, how does the accounting work? Well, Junior measures week from, you know, over the course of 7 days. And then, of course, depending on what day those apps got submitted, it might show up differently on the company reports. But that's what he did. So, Junior, like in terms of the most applications you've written in a week prior to this, what do you think, like the 30 apps in a week, what do you think your previous record was for applications? What was your previous record for premium?
That's a great question. Applications wise, I might guess maybe 20. And then premium, I don't think I've done over 17 or 18,000 before, but I mean, I remember 1 week I did 18,000, but that was two apps were in one home. It was like 1200 in premium per month. So it was like 14,000 in one home. So
here, you kind of had an elephant sale.
Before. The biggest app I wrote this week was $300 a month.
Okay. Gotcha. So it's a nice size app, but it's different than doing like $1,000 or $1,500 an app on a month on an app. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's fair. So
right.
This is like the most families helped with the most apps, the most premium kind of all at the same
and
time.
Still the most premium.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Still the most premium. Yep. Okay. So a lot of records set here. Okay. And so I think the biggest thing I'm trying to convey is we can always jump up and down when somebody closes an elephant deal. And that's always fun. But Junior's numbers came through bunts and singles and doubles. No grand slams in this. Just bunt, singles, and doubles, and you really cranked out a lot and grinded it out. So I want people to see kind of the numbers and just get a sense of respect for, hey, my man was working. And if you're trying to do the math on the commissions, Junior, what's your feeling about, like, you know how the quality of your business is, about what percentage of this almost $20,000 is going to get issued?
I would say 85 to 90% of it.
Okay. So those are very
good. I've already had a lot of it issued.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's say 90% of it gets issued. That's about 18,000 of issued business. And so if an agent's here and you're brand new, and average compensation on a level one contract is about 50%. So if you take 50% of 18,000, that's about 9,000. And we know our carriers advance us about three quarters of that. So let's just say that's probably about $7,000 in commission that you'd have earned from this week going into your bank account now, with still 2,000 or so coming in later if you're at a level one contract. Now, for Junior, he's not at a level one contract, so it's going to be more than that for him. So good job. That brought up out of my mind. Hey, Junior, you earned as much. Basically, you earned more this week in efforts than you earned in your first 6 months of working with us.
Yeah, no kidding. I probably put in just as much work, too, in 1 week than I did
in 6 months. You probably worked more this week than you worked in your first 6 months of that.
Oh, my God. I don't think people understand how big that is. I can go into it, but go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to go back 90 days ago, Junior, and you and I had a couple conversations. Talk to me about your emotional state of mind, like in, let's just say, mid-February.
So I remember feeling very frustrated. I remember feeling very left behind. And I remember feeling that a lot of people were moving forward and I was not moving as fast as I wanted to, and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted to get. I felt very empty. I was frustrated, and then I was creating a negative content loop in my mind of negativity, and that was causing me to get worse instead of better. So I was not – now, outside looking in, you would have no idea, but you knew that I was not feeling my best.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you weren't because you were telling me about it. I mean, Junior, in fact, how would you describe a couple of – I remember talking to you like I think it was a Saturday night or a Friday night at 10 o'clock one night, and I swear, if I hadn't seen you, I don't know, maybe I would have – not sure, but I would have sworn you might have been crying.
Oh, I was.
Okay.
I was. I held it in, and we've had conversations, but people get this one, so I got to get people to understand, like, the way I felt was way worse than what the reality actually was. And when I thought about, like, the reason I was feeling so bad is because I would think in my mind, well, if this happens and I do bad here, then this is going to go bad, and then that's going to go bad, and then Courtney's going to hate me, and then Mike's going to hate me, and then Mickey's never going to, and then this and this and that. And I had all these things just swirling in my mind. And when we talked that one night, it was just, I kind of let it all out. And that's why I love talking to you, because you don't judge me. You don't critique me. You don't measure me. You just listen, and then but you don't leave me where I'm at. You get me out of the emotional mess that I'm in and try to help me to move forward. And you normally do it, and it's so simple. I'm just like, after the call, I'm like, duh, why didn't I think of that? You know? And it just, over the last 7 years, but I mean, specifically the last, this happened 90 days ago, but over the last 7 years, you've done that so many times. So I'm just crazy grateful.
Okay. So you were at that point, and I remember like a couple weeks later, we had this trip that you qualified for to go to Steamboat Springs with the other agency managers. And to me about how you're thinking about, like, before that trip, kind of what kind of set the stage for some of the thoughts and things that were going through your mind specifically about that trip.
Sure. I was very grateful for it because it was, I mean, it's all-inclusive trip. I had already paid for my flight to go there, and then everything else was paid for. And I knew I had earned it, right, because I earned it the previous year, so I knew I earned it. But honestly, I wasn't really wanting to go. I was really wanting to stay home and work and start getting results. And even while I was there the first few days, I just felt out of place. I felt like I really shouldn't be here. I need to be working. That's how I felt, for the first couple of days of the trip.
Okay. Now, you know what we teach about Andy's eight steps book. We talk about, you know, what I call the three association steps, or we say attend all meetings, reading books, and listening to audio files. So what do you know about how we talk about the importance of that, Junior? What sticks out in your mind when we talk about, you know, the attending all meetings and these three association things?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's so powerful. So, and then you've told me, and Andy's told me, like, in 5 years, your life could be totally different. It's going to be based on the books that you read, the audios you listen to, and the people that you hang around. So I've been program, brainwash, whatever you want to call it, that I just know how powerful association is. Tim Goode says, other than the power of God on this planet, association is the most powerful thing. And I'm like, whoa. So I just know that, and I know that no matter how I feel, I've got to associate around you and Noel and the top people. So, and even on this steamboat trip, there were one huge conversation that I had that really, honestly, I had no idea. And I mean, we can talk about it, Mike. You tell me how much you want to go into it. But one conversation I had with Noel that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's do this. So first, I just want to pause here. So I know Junior went from almost not wanting to be there, and even when he got there, still almost, I would say, a regret of being there, just thinking I should be working, and just trying to relax was tough for you because I know we were chatting about it. But I know then you had a conversation with Bill Cook. And first of all, if you don't know Bill Cook, for those that watched the Zoom cast this morning with Bill Cook, I've not seen him. He's a hoot.
Sorry, Mike.
He's on track. I mean, I think he's issued 73,000 in premium so far in this 90 days contest in the first 2 months, and that was having spent 2 weeks in Hawaii. So Bill's he's crushing it, to put it simply. But with that said, Junior, so Bill's out there crushing it, but you started to chat with him a little bit in Steamboat. And talk to me about that conversation, kind of what you picked up from him and what you learned from that.
Yes, sir. So Bill Cook, last year he was number one in sales, so it's kind of a big deal. But I've had a relationship with Bill Cook for a bunch of years, and my personal production, and I would start speaking to him, and he would ask me questions, and I would say things like, man, I wish I could, you know, like, be as productive as you, and I would say something, and then he would kind of, like, cringe, and I'm like, what the heck? What's going on? And he was just, dude, he's like, your language, the way you're speaking, this is the way I took it, this might not be his word, but he's like, the way that you're speaking is, like, so negative. You got to speak what you want. And then he starts talking about all this crazy stuff. He's like, everybody I sit with buys life insurance. Everybody loves buying life insurance, and I love writing it. I'll go 40 appointments in a row without not missing a sale. Sometimes it's 4 months before I miss a sale. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's good for you. You're Bill Cook. And he's like, no, there you go. You're doing it again. And that's what started it. I didn't change at that moment, clearly. But that's where it really started, just me realizing how negative, and it was subtle. It wasn't like, oh, I'm terrible, I'm an idiot. It wasn't that, like that, but it was subtly like I couldn't do what Bill Cook does. I was putting that into my head. I couldn't do what Michelle Allaman does. I couldn't do what Brent Swindell does. That was one big conversation I had in Steamboat.
So you had the conversation. Gradually, you started changing your self-talk. So give me an example of some of the things you say to yourself now.
Oh, my God. I'm a $10,000 a week producer. People love buying life insurance. I love writing it. For some reason, every time I go to Tampa, especially like the South Tampa area, everybody's like always nice and friendly. And Riverview, everybody's always nice and friendly there. It's just like it's the coolest place. People just love buying life insurance there. I'll start saying stuff like that. And it's weird because when I do it around new people, like we had a new guy at the office on Mickey's team, and I started saying that, and he's like, are you being like facetious? Or are you like, he was so confused because he didn't know if that was really like a good area or if I was just messing around with him. And I love that. I was like, good, it's working. Because this is, he said, Bill Cook said, talk as crazy as you want to talk. You can say anything you want to say. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to believe it.
There we go. Because your body will follow what your brain believes. What you believe. I mean, that's huge, Junior. All right, so you picked up, I remember as we were chatting, you learned something else about Bill and his appointment setting. If we look, so in fact, I want to come back. It's your numbers, Junior. You booked the 35 appointments. You sat with 22 and helped 12. Now, I tell everybody we interview all the time, our ratios are 3-2-1. If you book 3, you'll sit with 2 and you'll help 1 on average. And I'll be darned, you about pegged it almost exactly with a large body of work here. Now, with that said, Junior, 90 days ago, 6 months ago, were you sitting down with 67% of the people you booked appointments?
No. No,
what
absolutely
was your
sit not.
Ratio like? What was your sit ratio like 3 and 6 months ago?
I would say on a good week, it would be 50% on a good week. And then even the ones that I sat down with, sometimes we're not the best.
Okay.
So here's what Bill Cook told me about booking appointments. Now, if you're brand new, please get coaching. So, like this, if you're brand new, just learn how to book appointments, okay? But this is more advanced. So Bill Cook said, I am not going to book a bad appointment. I'm like, what? He's like, I would rather have no appointments than a bad appointment. I was like, seriously? He's like, yeah, I'm not teaching this from stage. And I started talking to him about how that was. And before, if somebody would say they're not interested, I would just say, okay, no big deal. Well, I really have to get that out to you anyway. And I would book the appointment before. The problem was I'm going out there as a hard closer, as a mean guy, as I force my way in there. And it was antagonistic to begin with, so it was hard to develop a relationship with people. And a lot of it, I would say one-third of my appointments were that way. Whereas now, they say they're not interested. I'm not just saying, oh, okay, and hanging up. I'm still going to book the appointment, but I'm going to make sure that it's a good appointment somehow. Like, not, okay, I understand, not interested. What happened? And I'm hearing them out. In other words, I'm trying to figure out a way to book the appointment and make them want me to come over. And it's not as hard as you think if you've been booking appointments for a long time. It's just different, and it's more advanced. I know this isn't like a phone script training call, Mike, but I don't know if this is helping.
I think it's good to acknowledge. So the first rule is don't book a bad appointment because, hey, you don't want to fool yourself, okay, or only count the quality appointments when you're booking them. Like I know Brent Swindell uses kind of a point system. So he makes sure he's kind of forcing him to grade himself on how good is the quality of appointment. And so if you're brand new, we're teaching you just how to book appointments, period, and then you'll get better. So if you're brand new, let's follow the basics of our scripting and get you booking appointments, period. And then as you get better, we'll start improving your appointment setting quality. We'll get there. All right, but that's the big thing. So self-talk and booking quality appointments, two big things from Bill Cook. Now, was that the last time you talked to Bill Cook, or have you been able to kind of continue to build on that relationship you've established?
Oh, that was not the last time or the first time. We've texted. He calls me, and he'll call me late at night driving home, and he'll give me he'll text me his numbers. And, you know, I would slowly start to speak more of what I wanted, and he would – I mean, we talked in Toronto. We talked in Hawaii. He's given me tips on how to write more business in a house. I mean, it's been really cool having that relationship.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're listening to this for the first time, like if you're brand new, Bill Cook is not on our team. He makes no money off me or anything I do. But because we're part of the Alliance, he'll help.
Yep, that's part of our culture. We love that. Okay, so Junior, also in Steamboat, you had a conversation with Noel. And I remember cringing because I felt uncomfortable.
Boy. Oh, God. I don't know if Noel's listening, but this was the most uncomfortable conversation I have ever had with anybody in my entire life. And I'm not exaggerating.
Now, to be clear, was it rude or was it just she was asking you questions that made you question yourself?
No. She was not rude at all. She was being extremely helpful. I was extremely defensive. So we were sitting at the table overlooking the beautiful white-capped snowy mountains. What a setting, right? And we got this white linen cloth, and we're just chatting, and it's her. And I think you were sitting next to her, me, and on her left was Beth Katz, and on the right was Adam Katz. So at first, it was just, I was just having a regular conversation about, you know, I'm doing this and this, and then she asked me a question about, you know, he's like, hey, why are you doing that? And I was like, well, not that big of a deal, you know. And then I'm trying to be careful. So I didn't ask for advice, which is made me very defensive because I wasn't asking. But because Noelle cared, she said, "Hey, why are you doing that?" And it was a habit. So I had gotten into this habit of just wasting time once a week, hanging out, not doing anything productive. But it was just a habit of every single week I would just go waste time, and I wouldn't do anything bad. I wouldn't do anything, you know, crazy. It was just nothing to build me up. And eventually Beth Katz got into the conversation and Adam got, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, this is no, and like, let's stop. And I was just agreeing and shaking my head, but I was really upset. And the next day, you know, Noel apologized and I apologized, and but that was it. There wasn't much to it. You know, I didn't think there was a lesson in there. I was like, what the heck? But over the last, so that was 2-3 months ago, and over the last 4 weeks, I've kind of just had an incredible revelation that if I would have not had that conversation with her, I would have been stuck in the same pattern of doing the same stupid thing, in my opinion, doing the same stupid thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I wasn't going to break out of it on my own. And I'm a big believer that God works through people and God speaks through people, so I'm grateful that Noel had that conversation with me. And because of that, I'm able to work now more days, and I've gotten some of the results I've gotten.
There you go. Whew! All right. So that was big, another part of association. All right. So now another person that I know you've stayed close to is our buddy Tim Goad. And for those that know, Tim Goad's a pastor He's kind of a cultural advisor to our team. He's kind of like, if you will, in the locker room that people can go to if they got problems or trying to work out stuff in life that don't have anything to do with insurance but have everything to do with being productive. Because if you can't get your life together, it's kind of hard to keep your business together. So Tim's there for people that need help, who got questions, want someone to talk to, oftentimes even confidentially about something they're embarrassed or dealing with. So, Junior, you've built a relationship with Tim, and Tim provided some tools that you started taking advantage of. Let's talk to us about that.
Yeah, this one's simple. Tim's got a lot of resources, a lot of CDs that you can listen to. One CD in particular that I started listening to was Affirmations. I listened to that like a few years ago, and I listened to it here and there, but never on a consistent basis. And about 2.5 months ago, I was like, I got to do something different. Paul Roberts listens to this every single day. Tim Goh talks about how Paul Roberts listens to it. Paul Roberts talks about how he listens to this every single day. And I was like, it can't be that easy to just pop in a CD. That's not going to make that big a difference. And then I'm thinking, well, if it's so easy, why the heck don't I just do it? So I bought the CD. I downloaded it. I put it on my phone. So I had it with me. I had no excuse ever to not listen to it. And every morning, either on my way to an appointment or while I'm at the gym, I am listening to this CD. And it has built me up. And what I love about the affirmations, it's words that God says about you. So it's like the ultimate truth, in my opinion. I'm trying to offend anybody. But it's just so powerful because when I first started listening to it, after the second or third day, that there was like a fourth or fifth day in there that I just was not feeling good. I did not want to listen to it. I didn't even want to say what was on it. And I just popped it in, and I started trying to say what it was, and I just started crying. I'm just like, because I didn't believe it about myself. Because it would say, you know, things like, God meets all my need according to his glorious riches. And I'm just like, I don't believe this. If this is real, why is it not happening? So it was very hard for me to say it. And now I got the whole thing almost like memorized. I'm pretty jacked up, excited. One day I'm going to be able to say it without a CD. I'm jacked up. But I've just been listening to that every single day.
Whew. All right. That's big. Now, in addition to that, that's helping you. I think, you know, just the fact that you're sitting there, and I think what watching you and listening to you, Junior, it seems that that's helped you fuel or clarify your passion, meaning because you're speaking that and, like, you're so emotional because you want it to be true, but you're like, I don't know if I can believe it's true yet. And I think when you start to embrace and accept who you're trying to become, you start forcing yourself to align, because otherwise you start to feel like you're lying, and it helps you to be more congruent in how you're living every minute. Congruent means, like, is everything lining up in the same direction? So that's big. Now, Junior, you and I've had a couple discussions also kind of about lead planning and being realistic about the number of appointments you need in order to get where you want to go. And I know we've been talking about it for a little bit. We've had conversations off and on. There's times when you've called me and said, Mike, I want to lower my lead budget. Mike, I don't think I need any more A leads. Talk to me about some of the things that you've kind of learned and you've made sure you've stuck to through this phase of getting better over the last 90 days.
Yes, sir. So with our business, every business needs resources. We need resources to our resources, or who are we going to talk to sell life insurance to? So we have leads. Andy Albright has created an incredible lead system. So I was investing about $200 a week in leads before, and I've always been above the average. Like if you buy $100 worth of leads, you're going to sell $1,000 a premium. If you buy $5,500, you'll sell $5,000. I've always been above. So I figured, you know, if I'm investing $200, I should be able to write as much business as I want to if I just. But I was really fooling myself because I didn't have the resources, and I was just working and spinning my wheels. And Mike, you said, bro, you need to be real about the stuff that, like, the resources. Like, you're not getting enough resources. So I increased my GMR. I added one more county. I increased my GMR, so now it's $500 a week over three counties. And I've added A leads to my GMR. I used to not want to get A leads. Now I get all kinds of leads now. And it changed it immediately when I added it. And now that and referrals and current clients, it's been ridiculous. So because I've got $500 worth of leads and I'm getting referrals and I've got current clients, I have enough resources to book 30 appointments every week. And I have been booking 30 appointments, and I will continue to book 30 appointments a week, every single week. And it's been fun.
Hey, that's big. So on that, Junior, you know, it's like you said, in fact, how would you say, because I know you've stayed steady, and what would you say about has been your lead investment on a weekly basis for your personal leads?
Right at $500.
Right. Okay. So with $500, now, are you getting referrals?
Yes, sir.
Are you calling them?
Yes. I sold a referral this week and two current clients.
And are you calling? I was going to ask, are you doing reviews and calling your existing clients back?
Yes.
Okay. So Junior's using everything at his disposal, all lead types, A leads, RWs, A3s. He's using referrals that he's getting each week. He's calling his current clients back. It's the blend that's allowing him to book the 30 appointments. So that's big. Okay, so I hope people see that. And then sticking to the 30 appointments a week to give yourself enough swings to play. If you're trying to be a pro and want to operate like a pro, you can. That's big. All right, now someone who's in your backyard that you get to see pretty often, but you had a more of a connection with when we were in Toronto back in April. Talk about that, Junior.
Yeah. So a lot of people know Michael Owens, and me and Michael have been buddies for a while. So it's easy to take people for granted when you hang around them so much. So I really work on trying to learn something every time I'm around somebody that's making more money than me and not taking that relationship for granted. So we were actually coming back from Toronto. We flew there together, so I was hanging out talking to him. And coming back, I was just going over some of my numbers with him, and I told him what I wanted to do in the month of May. And I said, I want to do $30,000 in the month of May. And I showed him my schedule, and he's like, yeah, you're not going to do this. I'm like, what? Not? He's like, you don't have enough days. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said to me, this is just me, but to me it was something that cleared so much stress out of my life. He said, if you run a full day of appointments, even if you have a bad day, you'll still write $1,500 in premium. And I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, that's true. Well, if I got a full day, I'm going to at least write $1,500. And he said, so if you want to do 30,000, how many days do you need on your calendar? And I'm like, Michael, seriously, like, you do this? He's like, dude, it's the only way I know to guarantee that I will hit my numbers. It's the only way I know to guarantee that I'll hit my numbers. And I started doing that. I started taking the pressure off of myself and running full days. And now I know if I've got 4 days in the field and they're full days, I know on a bad week, I'm going to write $6,000. And what's funny is ever after that conversation, I'm like, bro, it's been above $1,500 every single time. He's like, I know, isn't it cool?
So I want people to hear that because somebody, I can hear somebody, they're screaming at their phone saying, but I had a full day and I didn't write $1,500. Well, okay, let me find full day. Junior, how many appointments booked is a full day?
Minimum, I would say minimum is seven, really eight. Okay. And it's not, and to be clear, it's not like the seven I was booking before. where I'm not interested. All right, well, I'll come closest out at 6. We'll see you. That is, if you got a full day of that, you might write 0. But let me be real. I might write 0 if I do that, because I'm fooling myself. I'm not that good. If I'm just having to go see people that are negative and mean and I can't, like, oh, my God. Now, at the beginning, learn to book an appointment. But once you know how to book 10, 15 appointments a week, work on your skill to go see better people. That's what probably yeah. Just what Brandt does. That's what Bill Cook does. They're not going out there and seeing 10 mean people in a row. I promise you, they're not doing that. But at the beginning, you feel everybody's mean. That's because you're terrible on the phone and you're not able, but you're going to learn.
Yeah, that's big. Okay, so we've just hit on, like, I think we hit on more than 5 lessons, but we hit on lessons you took from 5 different people that you've been applying steadily and getting better at bit by bit. Now, Junior, I got one more thing I kind of want to talk about, because you talked to me about how there's a couple people that you talked to this week that you sat down with that you had no business writing. You were like, Mike, I had no business helping this person, but here's what happened. Talk to me a little bit about a couple of those scenarios.
So here's part of – so 90 days ago when we were chatting and I was crying and all that, I was going into a lot of houses, and they would hit me with an objection, and I would feel so defeated. I knew what to say. It just wasn't coming across right, and I wasn't even able to overcome, or I wasn't even able to build a relationship. Whereas now, I mean, I had this awesome couple, man, this last week. Trying to remember their names. I don't remember their names. But anyway, so I'm talking to the husband. They're from Jamaica. And the wife is sitting across the table. And I cannot get this lady to open up for nothing. She's, like, looking at her phone. And I'm like, just trying to talk to her, right? And she's responding, but, like, one-word answers. And her husband gets up to go get something. And I'm like, Mary, I don't know what her name is, but let's say it's Mary. I'm like, Mary, what do I got to do to get you to laugh? Like, what the heck? And she's not responding at all. And she's not looking at me. And I mean, I'm like, I bet if you looked at me, I'd get you to laugh. She just starts cracking up. I couldn't believe it. She told me, she's like, I don't have a social security number. The whole time, the whole appointment that I'm writing a policy on the husband, I don't have a social security number. And then at the end, she's like, okay, I want to buy a policy on my mom. I'm like, you don't have a social security number. She's like, I was just messing with you. I'm from Jamaica. How am I not going to have a social security number? I'm like, what? So then we wrote another policy on her mom, and her husband said, she's really like that with everybody until she knows that you're real. And I would have never gotten her. I would have never gotten her to open up before, because I would have taken it defensively. I would have started thinking, well, I'm doing a terrible job, or she doesn't like me, or I must have done something that offended her, and blah blah blah. And before, here's what I would have done: hey, are you gonna be like that the whole time? Did I do something to upset you? That would have been my attitude, and that is not gonna work. But that was what I would have done before. Had another client. Charletta's, this is an incredible family. I knocked on the door, and the sister, I had an appointment with her sister that filled out the lead. Knocked on the door, and this is my second time going out there, and Charletta opens the door and says, yeah, my sister's not going to need no life insurance. I'm like, really? Yeah, this is the second time I'm out here. I really need to see her. And wasn't mean about it. I'm like, I really need to see her. She's like, no, she really doesn't, but I need life insurance. And I was like, huh. All right, and then we went outside, and we were talking. It's kind of like a lower income area, and this lady, 36 years old, is currently going through kidney dialysis at 36. She had a little patch on her chest, and I asked her what it was, and we just started talking, and we wrote a policy for all 5 of her kids. We wrote a policy on her husband, and then we couldn't get her anything except an accidental policy, but at least we did that. And I think she's going to come work with us too. She's sharp. She used to be a manager. I mean, she was high, like college and everything, just going through a crazy hard time. But it's things like that. Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I can go on and on this week, but it's just because
so
here's the biggest thing.
Junior, on that, so on those two people, is like I think I want to talk about how you built the confidence to deal with those two situations. I know you said how you used to think and how what's changed. What do you think gave you the confidence and presence of mind to stop the pity party and their sarcastic kind of remarks to have a different tack and believe that there was a way to connect with these people?
I don't know what else, Mike, other than all the stuff we've just been talking about. It's not just one thing. It's listening to affirmations, talking positive, reading. I've been reading like crazy. I mean, it's just because I've been doing the work and getting around the right people and all that, my confidence has gone up, and I'm not taking things as personal. I'm just having fun. I know people just want to have fun. People don't want to be mean. Are you kidding me? Like, you've got all day. Like, what the heck? People don't want to be mean. People want to have a good time. People love taking care of their families. So I just think it's a combination of everything.
Yeah. In fact, Junior, I think you're right. So here's what it is. Work times association equals growth. So the fact that you're working and putting the 30 appointments in and focusing on getting that done, and then the association through whether it be face-to-face, picking up the phone and calling people, the audio files and the affirmations and the reading, the work times association equals the growth, the maturity to figure this out. And you know what? In order to hit the work and to maintain it, to get to that level and to want to keep associated, that's where you've got to develop, why do I want this? And the biggest thing I can tell you, guys, it's worth it. Junior's going through a phase that Noelle and I and Andy and others have had to grow through, and it's worth it. The trip we just – I mean, Noelle, I've had – well, I've had one trip without Noelle up to Toronto with Junior. We were in Switzerland with Andy and Jane and Adam and Beth Katz and Jim and Shirley Henson for a week. We came back for 3 days, went to Hawaii for 2 weeks, came back for a few days, and we're up in Boston, New England. We got back Sunday at midnight. That's four trips in like 5 or 6 weeks for me and three for Noelle. But guess what? We're living a life that we love, but it's because we've done some of the things like Junior's done. And so we're inviting you to get to work, to figure it out, to have some fun. And we hope we can have you sharing about the lessons and growth you've had on an upcoming call. We hope you find a way to get to our family reunion event in July so you can meet Junior, shake his hand, and ask him some more questions, because Junior's at a point where he's got a wealth of knowledge to share with you. If you're anywhere near Orlando and you want to dial with him or Mickey or Katrina, you can sit by them and have a dial session next to them. So we're inviting you to participate and lean in toward this team and get better and grow. Junior, buddy, thank you for paying a price. Thank you for learning how to win. Thank you for winning, and thank you for sharing that today. Guys, let's rock on. June, hey, we're finishing up this 212 contest strong. We got 22 days left. We ain't taking no days off. We're having fun. Hope you are too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.